Hello, happy hump day, happy Friday, cheers to the weekend. Whenever you're listening to this, I hope this episode finds you healthy, happy, and feeling vibrant. I'm coming back from my gravel race weekend with my dad, which we've been training for the last several months. We just did Rebecca's Private Idaho, which is one of the world's largest gravel rides and is held in Ketchum, Idaho, on the native land of the Shoshone-Bannock tribe. It's stunning. Ketchum, Sun Valley area, it's truly one of the most beautiful places in the world and by far one of my favorite places to get out and explore. Whether it's backpacking, camping, cycling, it's definitely a place that grounds me and also refuels me. It's also where my husband and I got married, so it holds a really special place in my heart. In this week's episode, I talk more about our ride, training for gravel riding, as well as the theme of do epic shit that my dad and I have created when we ride together. Hence the title of this week's podcast, Do Epic Shit. I talk about how this theme came to be, why this is such a relevant topic, and how to do the epic shit you want to do, as well as eliminate the obstacles that get in the way of the doing part of this. I hope this episode leaves you feeling empowered to go after what truly sets your soul on fire, helps you feel aligned with where you want to be in life, and inspires you to create a life where you feel excited about waking up in the morning. When you're done, let me know what epic shit it is that is on your list, and let's hold one another accountable to living our most epic lives. Enjoy. Your Zest Life is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise. Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios, Speak Boise, and at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios, speak and be heard. This podcast is also brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communications experts and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Imprints specializes in making your organization more visible with custom branded apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and wide format printing for signs, as well as banners and vehicle graphics. Want better ways to get noticed? Visit Instant Imprints at instantimprints.com, Boise, or call 208-IMPRINT. That's 208-467-7468. Welcome back, Life Zesters. Oh my gosh, I have to like take a breather today. It has been a hell of a week. Last week, started to just kind of feel a little off. Monday, woke up Tuesday and had a presentation. I do coaching for not only corporations, but also I love working specifically with high school age, college age, young adults. And I got to work with one of our local high schools here with their cheer and dance team. So teaching them all about healthy habits and taking care of themselves, mindfulness, time management. And by the time I was done with that, I just had one of those days, like my body was really achy and I was fevery, and the week from there just went downhill. And so I feel like this last week has been like just kind of, I don't want to say a living nightmare, but started to feel like I was kind of getting better on Friday, which was great because that was my anniversary with my husband, celebrating 5 years. And that evening just took a total turn. I felt for my husband. I started to get like a severe earache, sore throat. And our anniversary was spent with him trying to figure out like how to find some remedies. Because as you know, if you've been following along, I've been training for a gravel ride with my dad. We've gotten really into gravel cycling. And we've been training for Rebecca's Private Idaho, which is a little over 100 mile of a gravel ride in Ketchum on the native land of the Shoshone-Bannock tribe. It's just stunning. So to have to go through all of that last week, I missed one of my training days. My nutrition just felt really off. I wasn't very hydrated and was just really feeling uncomfortable. And then husband's trying to celebrate our anniversary. But we woke up Saturday and my dad said, you know what? We've already got our Airbnbs booked. Like if worst comes to worst, we just go up there. And if you've been to Sun Valley, it's breathtaking. It's definitely, it's one of the most beautiful places I've been to in the world. And we've seen some really gorgeous places. It's also where my husband and I got married. So it definitely holds a special place in my heart. And we decided we'll go up, and if we just end up walking around or just riding our bikes on the greenbelt over there, like, it'll still be a really enjoyable weekend. I think that's one of the things I really admire about my dad, and that he's taught me is, you know, to take things for what they are and just to always have another perspective or another viewpoint and try to see the silver lining, try to see how the glass can be half full. So we went up on Saturday, and we got into town that afternoon, and they have a debrief of the race. So we have a few different options, which we've been training for this 100 mile, and that's aggressive. So if you think of 100 miles on road, that's a lot. We've done that. We did STP the last couple summers, and that's 100 miles, 2 days worth, riding from Seattle to Portland. But 100 miles on gravel, where I want to say it was a 6 to 10% grade. I think we had a little over 6,000 feet elevation. And it's a lot, but it's, I'll kind of talk more as we go on in our episode today about just some of the things that gravel riding has really taught me. But fortunately, there's different options that you can ride. And so we decided to opt down to the, I think it's 56 miles, and just focus on having a really positive ride, right? I think that's a really great way to look at things, that when sometimes the things that you plan for in life don't go the way that you want them to, that, you know, there's always a different alternative. You know, what is this trying to teach me, or what's the lesson? Is there a different option I should be looking for? And so dropped down to the 56 miles, and then we had booked a couple reservations. So one at one of my favorite Italian places in town, it's called Enoteca. And we showed up, had an early reservation, thank goodness, and I'm going to tell you why. So we get done with our reservation, and I'm starting to feel real crummy. Like, I just want to get home. I want to get my bike set up for the next day, because we had to be up early, get my food ready, and just go to bed. And so we booked an Airbnb in town, and originally it had been like a 3-bedroom condo. I can't remember what else. We're like, you know what? It's a place to sleep. That's all we need. We'd gotten a really good deal on it. It was really close into town, so we could just ride our bikes to the starting line. And we get there, and the host hadn't been like really great about communication, but just said something like, the door's open. Go ahead and just help yourself find your way in. Your bedroom is straight down the skinny hall upstairs. I'm like, well, that's weird. There's supposed to be 3 bedrooms. But we go in, and it is like, it looks like the epitome of a bachelor pad, like just shit everywhere, not clean. Again, but it's a place to sleep. That's all we need. We go upstairs, and we're trying to figure out like what the long skinny hall is, because all there is I think like 3 doors, and there's a mattress in the hall. I'm like, well, maybe that's where we're supposed to go. So we move the mattress, we go into the room, and it is disgusting. Like, there's dirty sheets on the bed, there's dirty laundry in the room, there's like blood stains on the duvet that's just like curled up in a ball. And my dad and I look at each other, and we're like, are we in the right house? Like, did we go into the right place? Did we just let ourselves into some stranger's house? And sure enough, we look at the pictures, and that's what it is. But we're trying to get a hold of the host. We're like, okay, there's supposed to be 3 rooms, and he's not responding. And I'm kind of looking at my dad, and we're like, okay, we've got to figure something out. Like, this isn't clean. This is really weird. It's not ready for us. And reminder here, my dad is someone who, right, like, led bike tours across the country. He slept outside. Like, we've slept in tents. We lived in a tent when we first lived here. So it's not like we're like hoity-toity, need a 5-star hotel. We just want a comfortable, clean space to sleep in. So we go outside. We're like, let's find another place to stay. Remember, it's Labor Day weekend, 3-day weekend. It's Saturday night. At this point, it's like 7:30, and they just had wagon days. It's a really high touristy destination. Lots of celebrity homes there. So trying to find a place on a Saturday night, I already knew ahead of time, like, I was going to kind of feel like an idiot calling all these places. But we're calling, and everyone's saying, no, I'm so sorry, we don't have anything, or like, we just gave away our last room. Finally, we find this place. I think it's like the Airport Inn. And like, you know, we have something, but it's not renovated. It's just like a motel. Like, that's fine. We just need a bed. So we go to start our car. I have a 2018 Crosstech Subaru, and I go to start it, and the engine won't, it won't turn on. It's like, I'm like, what is going on? And I look at my dad, and my dad is the most patient, kind, just like gentle soul. And he, the look on his face is like, just not quite defeated, but like, now what do we do? And so I try to start again. At this point, we'd made friends with the neighbor across the street, and he goes and he tries to jump start our car. It won't jump start. So now we're calling roadside assistance. I'm on the phone with them for over an hour to try to find somebody. Again, this holiday weekend, they're super busy. They're behind. I'm going to have to leave my car here, you know, and at this point, they were going to hold the room for us for 20 minutes. It's now been over an hour. And kind of long story short, we had a friend who was in town who was the best man at my husband and my wedding. And he knows some people and was able to pull something. And we end up staying in this gorgeous place. They came out to get us and tried jumpstarting the car again. Thank God it started that time, so I didn't have to leave my car at this guy's house who were just, you know, we didn't have the most positive experience with anyways. But we end up getting to this great place. It's beautiful. It had this like wraparound porch that overlooked the mountains, and it's just stunning, like just stunning. But that was probably, gosh, I think we got to that place around 9 o'clock, and we had to be up around 6 to get our stuff together and prepping for a gravel ride, for any kind of cycling ride. Like, you've got to pack your food ahead of time, and nutrition is really important because you want to make sure that you're fueling yourself properly with the right amount of carbohydrates and make sure that your glycogen stores are just staying full. And so you're planning for every hour, you know, how many fuel packets you need, what kind of protein bars, what kind of food, as well as your water and your electrolytes. And at that point, I'm just like, I'm done. I want to go to bed. I'd been steaming my ear every night, so this is a really good remedy if I know there's something kind of going around Boise, but if your sinuses are just really plugged, which I don't know if you can tell by my voice, my sinuses are still a little, I'm still a little stuffed up, but you can put rubbing alcohol, or you can put like vodka. I personally like bourbon because I feel like it really cleanses me out, but boil it with water and just kind of breathe it in. I feel like I'm telling you to do something super weird right now, but it the alcohol helps to kind of dissolve everything and separate everything. So anyways, not to get too technical, but the mucus just kind of clears itself out. But you can also do it if you have like an earache. That steam is really soothing on the ears. And so that was me, as my dad and I are preparing, as I've got like my ear over this pot, steaming bourbon and water over the stove. Yeah, it was a really long day. We get up the next day and it was gorgeous. It's been really smoky here in the Treasure Valley. And just waking up, the sun was out. I was feeling a lot better that day. And we go to the starting line. I got to meet Myrna Valerio. So Myrna is, people call her the Myrnavator, but she is a trail runner. She lives from Vermont. I think she's also an ambassador with Salsa Cycles and REI. And she's just a cool, cool lady. I've taken an inclusion in action course with her. She teaches about diversity awareness and just is a professor over in the Vermont area. But rad woman, if you don't know her, look her up. But this was her first time in Sun Valley, and she's just gotten into gravel riding. So that was really cool to be going to the porta potties and to run into Myrna and get to meet her and talk to her in person. So the day was already off to a great start. But getting to go up, again, like, you're in this native land that's just, you got the Sawtooths, you've got a few other different mountain ranges. And the climb, so you go out, you got like 6 miles paved road, and then it hits right into this gravel climb. And I want to say that's like a 7% grade for about maybe 5 to 6, 7 miles. But it's so cool. Everyone's just in the best spirits, and they're kind, and they're helping each other out. If anyone was pulled off to the side of the road, like, etiquette is to, you know, just check and make sure that they've got the tools that they need. And I think that's something I really, really have enjoyed the last couple of years, getting into not necessarily competitive cycling, but cycling races, is that you really see people looking out for one another.
And just especially when you're out in nature, I think that's part of why I switched from road cycling to gravel is I love just being where there's no cars or very few cars and getting to go to places that like you can't really get to by vehicle. Like you have to get to by foot or by tire on your bike. And it was just, it's a cool experience to get to share with my dad. I've really been valuing this time that we get to spend together. Our training, which I think this will get into what our topic is today. I know it was like a long story to get there, but the topic today, when I was sitting in the car with my dad driving home, I have this hat I've been wearing and it says, I actually have it right next to me. I rode my bike in today and it says, "Do epic shit." And it's from Betty Designs. She's a female triathlete who makes female apparel for triathlons, for cyclists, for swimmers. And I saw that on the dashboard. He's like, "Do epic shit." Like talk about like doing the things that we talk about. And this phrase, this "do epic shit" phrase is held a lot of value for me when I've been in my trainings. I want to say, I think the first time I did STP, I wore a pair of socks where on the back it said "do epic shit." And so everyone who would ride by me was like, "Yeah, do the epic shit." And I'm like, "Yeah." Like I said, people are just so supportive of each other. And when my dad and I ride, and you know, if we're climbing up a steep hill or if it's just like, man, you just feel like you're like beating away at this and it's like rocky and gravelly and your back tires are sliding out. He's like, "Do the epic shit, Jen. Like, do the epic shit." And I think that's really held a lot of value in my life when trying to figure out like, what's my vision? What do I want to do and what's holding me back? And you know, the kind of the tying point here is that like gravel riding's taught me a lot about goal setting. It's taught me a lot about priorities. It's given me a lot of clarity when I'm out on the road, especially this last year. You spend a lot of time with your thoughts. And what I love specifically about riding in the gravel as opposed to road or going mountain biking is that it's just technical enough that you can't focus on anything else but what's around you and being in the moment and really just absorbing that environment. But, you know, sometimes with mountain biking, I feel like I'm so focused on like just the different directions and it is really technical that sometimes I can't just really sit into it. Whereas with gravel, you do have, you know, some flat roads that you can just really sit into the space and just ride. I feel like there's a lot of metaphors too, which that you could get into with gravel cycling. You know, there's a lot of road changes as far as the conditions and the terrain. You'll go from being in really soft sand to really deep gravel. And that's kind of like life, right? You have to adapt. You have to adapt to whatever your terrain is. You have to adapt to whatever your environment is. It's also taught me a lot about making the time, really making the time, right? How often do we say, "I don't have time for this," or "I'm too busy right now"? It's about making the time to do the things that make me happy. And this means prioritizing, like, what's at the top of my list? You know, what do I want and what do I need? And having those be my priorities, and then everything else will land where it will from there. So this year, I was kind of talking to my husband Luke last night about this, that the things that I've really realized is that like my priorities are being with my family. Like I used to be a very big social butterfly, wanted to be out and meeting new people and being where like the life of the party is. And you know, I still love being around people. I still love to socialize, but really my priority is I want to be with my family. I want to spend time with my husband and my dogs and make more time to meet up with my sister. But also being outside. Like I feel the most aligned with myself when I'm out in nature. You know, and there's science behind that, which, you know, we could kind of talk about more a different day, but being connected, being one with the natural evolution of life. And then the other thing is that it's really important to me that I'm constantly finding this balance between setting goals that really challenge me to get outside my comfort zone And then also finding that space to sit in my accomplishments or to sit in the challenges and really be present with them instead of just being so focused on like, go, 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 and what's the next thing. So kind of to get into this then, you know, thinking about how do we do the epic shit, right? What prevents us from the doing part? I think a lot of us have these visions, a lot of these us have these goals, myself included, and we find ourselves a year later, 3 years later, 5 years, 10 years, whatever, later, and we're like, this is still a goal of mine, and maybe we're closer, but oftentimes we're still kind of in this like treading water area of it, you know, and when I think of the excuses, you know, I'm going to call them excuses, we give power to our limitations that prevent us from doing whatever it is that we would like to do or that we're seeking to do. Biggest thing, don't have time. And I think we've talked about this on a previous episode, and we talked about the importance of, you know, everyone has 24 hours in a day. We all have access to resources, and one of the greatest resources being the internet, right? We are so fortunate in this day and age that we can look up really whatever it is that we want, and there's going to be a ton of information out there. Another cool thing is that there's people out there doing these things that you want to do, and they're showing you how they've done them. And I'll kind of get into that a little bit more later, but you know, I think that the biggest thing here when we say we don't have time, it gets back to prioritization, right? So what do you want to do? What do you need to be doing? And then putting that at the top of your list, that's your priority. That's where you're putting your energy. That's where you're putting your time. You know, if you think of time as currency, that's where the most of your currency or your time, your budget is going towards. And if right now you truly do not have the capacity, right? You're like, I don't have the energy to take this on. I really don't have the time. You know, maybe like right now truly isn't the time for it. But what can you be doing to actively prepare for when the time is right? So you're not just playing this waiting game. I think the next thing that holds us back is fear. Fear is a really powerful thing. And I actually think that fear can be a really powerful tool. I think that fear kind of guides us in the direction of where we want to be going. So when we fear something, again, what is this telling me? What is this trying to teach me? I think a lot of fear comes from the fear of failure, you know, the fear of not succeeding. I was listening to a study that said nowadays there's telling you that with kids, when they give you a project, and I can't remember, maybe we talked about this with Lauren, but that when they complete the project, to praise them, you know, to praise them, but to not always have it be right the first time and to encourage them to try to do things a different way, to see things a different way. And that teaches them about perspective. It teaches them about being open-minded, and also teaches them that failure is not a bad thing. Like failure teaches us lessons. Failure teaches us that there's different ways to do things. But also I think that there comes from fear of looking dumb or honestly caring what other people think. We care so much about what other people think of our choices, our decisions, that fear of what others might think of the outcome or how we do something holds us back from doing what we want to do, which is kind of silly when you think about it, right? It's what you want to do. It's not their dream. It's your dream. It's your vision. Who are they to tell you this is how it should be done? You know, and then the fear of not knowing what to do, which you know what to do. I think that's, if you take anything away from this, is that if you have an idea, if you have a vision and your excuse is, I don't know how to get there, I'm going to tell you, you do know how to get there. Again, you have the resources. You've got the internet. You have people who are doing the thing that you want to do. Look at what they're doing. Learn from their failures. Learn from their experiences. Ask questions. I know for me, one of the biggest things that has held me back or has slowed me down in processes is that I'm afraid to ask questions. I'm afraid to look dumb or to look like I don't know what I'm doing. None of us are expected to be experts in everything, right? Especially when you're first trying something, you're first learning something. Ask the questions. I think that's something that I wish I'd known when I was younger, because I think that I did hold myself back in areas both in my academics and in my life of just being afraid to ask questions. Another thing that I think holds us back from doing, you know, if you were to identify like the one epic thing, which at this point I'm hoping that your wheels are turning and you're thinking of like this is the goal I want to do. This is the place I've wanted to travel. This is the hobby I've wanted to take up, or this is the job that I've wanted to try for. I think when we're focused on too many things, it's really hard to dial in on that one thing. And in that case, yeah, it's hard to know what to do because your head's in so many different directions that you don't know where to go. You know, going back to gravel riding, one thing my dad would say to me when I and still to this day, if we're on a different path that's a little more technical, or if he's taking me in a different terrain, he says, focus on where you want to go. You know, don't focus on the rock you're trying to avoid. Don't focus on the area of the path you don't want to go, because if that's where you're focusing, if that's where you're looking, that's where you're going to go. If you're focused where you want to go, that's the direction your tire goes in. And I was thinking about this one day where we were on, it was like a, we call it a rock garden because literally it's just rocks everywhere. And a mountain bike is built for something like that. Gravel bike, yeah, it just doesn't have the suspension in it. And usually the tire pressure is a little different. And so it's not exactly designed to be going through a lot of big bulky rocks that are jumbled on top of each other. And so when we're going through this, I was thinking about that. I'm like, okay, where is the path of least resistance, or where is the path that I want to be going on? And sure enough, when you're focused there, like your bike is going to guide you to where you want to go. If you're trying to avoid that rock, though, that you know is going to get you off course, and you're so focused on avoiding that, that's where all your energy, right? That's where all your currency is going. It's focused on the avoidance. And I think that's something that I can relate to in life, is that when I'm focused on the fear, when I'm focused on the pain that I'm trying to avoid, the failure that I'm trying to avoid, I'm so focused on that that I can't find the clarity in the direction of where I need to go to accomplish whatever it is I'm trying to do. And the last thing that I want to talk about today that I think holds us back from our epicness is jealousy. Jealousy. I think oftentimes we look at people who are doing things that we want to be doing. They're being more successful. They're making more money. They're traveling more. They've got a bigger house. I don't know. I don't know who you're following. I don't know what your goals, your aspirations are. And we find ourselves stuck where we are because we are so focused on our envy of what this other person is doing or what this other person has. And I heard, I think it was Mel Robbins, who I've brought up her name a couple times on this podcast. She's just, I really resonate with how she sends her messages and the messages that she talks about. And this one was that, you know, jealousy is actually a form of admiration. And I had to sit in this for a little bit, thinking like, jealousy is a form of admiration. So I want you to think right now, when is a time in your life that you have been envious or jealous of somebody? And what was it that you were jealous about them? So I know for me, a time where I maybe wasn't as secure with who I was, or a time where I found myself more envious of others, was when I was competing in Miss Idaho, right? And that's a lot. You have to be very, very secure in who you are and super confident in what you stand for, because you're surrounded by these women who are remarkable. They are intelligent. They are well-spoken. They are talented. They're beautiful. And honestly, like, they're beautiful inside and out. They're kind. They're making a difference in their community. And I would find that that would be so intimidating to know that that was who I was up against. That's who I was competing against. And it took a while for me to realize that that jealousy actually was disguised as admiration. But because for whatever reason, I wasn't as secure in my own abilities, I wasn't able to be confident enough in what I brought to the table to admire or be inspired by what they did. And so when I was able to really sit back and realize, you know, I'm sure you heard the saying that there's enough room at the table for everybody. And honestly, that like everybody has their own gifts. Everybody has their own goals and what they're supposed to do in life, that we're designed to work cohesively together and to lift one another up and to encourage each other to utilize our gifts. We really are. As humankind, like, that's what we're designed to do. We're not designed to be, you know, butting heads with each other. You know, to have different viewpoints, different opinions, yes, that's a different topic though. But jealousy, I think when we are aligned with who we are and where we are and what we're supposed to do, that jealousy turns into admiration for others. And I think that jealousy can be just as powerful as fear, right? Fear sends us a message that either we should or shouldn't be doing something. I think jealousy is something to listen to and to let it direct you. That if you find that you're jealous of something that somebody is doing, chances are they're doing something that you want to be doing, right? Otherwise, why would you be jealous? If they're doing something that you have no interest in, there's no jealousy there, right? Like I was trying to think of, you know, if I'm watching someone run a marathon and they just crush that marathon, I'm cheering for them. Like, go you. Because I have no desire at this point in my life to run a marathon, right? I have so much respect for it. And, you know, maybe in a different life, or maybe if I wasn't into gravel riding and, you know, coaching and training people the way that I am, maybe that would be something where I would be like, oh man, she's doing awesome. How can I do that? How can I learn from her? Or someone who, you know, has a really nice home or has a vacation home somewhere. Like for me, like good for you. That's awesome. That's so awesome. But I'm not jealous because it's not something that's on my list right now. It's not something that I'm after. And it's because I feel very aligned with where my goals are. Like I'm at a time in my life where I can really confidently say I'm super aligned with where I'm going. And it's not cocky. It's just, I've gone through a lot of shit to figure out who I am, what I stand for. And because of that, you know, one of my, I asked you guys what some of your epic goals were. And one of my epic goals is that I would like to, this time next year, when we do Rebecca's Private Idaho, is I want to be in the stage races leading up to it. And I want to be competing in the hill climbs. And so when I'm watching the women who are in my division do that this year, instead of being jealous and being like, man, I wish that I could be doing that right now, I'm learning from them. You know, I'm looking like, how are they preparing for this as they're going into this race? You know, I'm looking at their social media accounts. I'm seeing like, what are their trainings like? You know, I'm engaging in conversation with them. You know, I'm cheering them on. Because too, at the end of the day, when you do accomplish this epic stuff, right? Because you're going to, like you're going to set your mind on it and you're going to accomplish it. Do you want someone cheering you on to the finish line? Or do you want people who are so kind of stuck in their own skin and aren't rooting for you? I want to tell you, I want someone rooting for me. And so I'm going to root for those people around me. I think that's something that took me a really long time to realize, that jealousy is something that can be totally redirected into a positive, and that positive is admiration. Again, going back to those excuses or those reasons that hold us back from doing our epicness, if at this time you really don't have the capacity, I want to remind you that we can't do everything, right? We can't say yes to everything. And there's a lot of cool opportunities out there, and maybe right now just isn't the time. And I want to encourage you then to give yourself grace to say, you know what, I don't have the capacity to take this on right now. Now, if this continues to nudge at you, you know, and you've given yourself the authentic, honest permission to let it be, that's a really good gut check that maybe that's where your attention should be going, and to look at what's going on in your life right now and to identify what's not serving me, what's not fueling me, what doesn't excite me. Because when you're aligned with what you're doing, you know, that envy, that jealousy of others transitions into admiration for what they're doing and the ability to be proud of where you are and what you're doing. Okay, so let's make this really simple then. How do we do the epicness? How do we get in the process of doing and less thinking and dreaming, right? Because we want to be people of action. Two steps for you. One, what is it that I want? Identify what you want. Write it down. Say it out loud. Start to vocalize it. And then sit down with that and identify what your goals are leading up to it. This is something I do with my clients, and we create a vision roadmap. What do you want?
What are the steps that you need to do? You know, what are your milestones that you'll need to accomplish to get there? What are your supporting goals to get there? You know, and we know what we want. The important thing then to identify is what are the excuses or what are the limiting actions and behaviors that are going to prevent you from accomplishing it? Because if you can identify that, you can tackle it. You can get ahead of those excuses. It's so empowering. Again, you have all the resources that you need. So use the internet. Follow people who are living your dream, who are doing what you want to do. Look at the resources in your life, whether it's you want to make more money, you want to change your job, you want to end a relationship, you want to strengthen a relationship, you want to travel. You got to get out of your own way first, right? You got to get out of your own way, and you have to give yourself, if you need to, the permission to actually go after and do that. I heard another thing that was really powerful, and that is that the odds of you being born are 1 in 400 trillion. Right? The odds of you with everything going on in the world, all the hurdles, you know, if you get into the science of like, of you know, your egg and yada, yada, 1 in 400 trillion chances of you being born. What that says to me is that you are so powerful and that there's a reason, there's a purpose that each of us are here. I don't know if that's getting too sappy for you, but I think that's just such a powerful statistic. And it makes me feel like I have a responsibility to make the most of this life that I was given because of those odds. Okay, the second step. What do I need to give up? What do I need to give up in order to accomplish my epicness? I'm going to say jealousy. We've already talked about this, right? Excuses, your busy mindset, inadequacy, that you're not good enough, that you don't know how to. Gosh, the one that really sticks out to me is that I'm not motivated yet. Motivation is not sustainable. Motivation is not here for us when we need to it. We need to give ourselves permission to start when we're not ready, to learn as we go, to fail and to continue going anyways. All right, so in summary, know what you want to do, identify your game plan, identify your excuses, and figure out how to overcome them. And your biggest hint, your biggest tip is to just do it. The thing that you are avoiding, just do it. All right, so I can't ask you to do something that I myself am not willing to do as well. So the epic shit that I want to do, you know, as I've been riding and really sitting in these rides and trying to figure out, like, what's my life plan? What's my game plan for the next few years? Adventuring and getting outside is a huge priority for me. It's what really brings my family together. I think it's what really strengthens my relationships. And one of those being, I want to meet my sister for trips more. She lives in Reno, and she is one of my favorite adventure partners. And so it's a priority. You know, we're both busy. We've got our own schedules. It's a priority that we get ahead of our schedules and we schedule this time to spend together, whether it's getting out and cycling, going camping, going paddleboarding, meeting each other, traveling somewhere. The next one I already told you, but next year I want to be in the stage races, and they do a hill climb, and I want to place in the top 50. I want to say top 80 for females this year. Next year, though, I want to get, let's say, top 40. I want to get top 40 for females. Gravel riding's really gotten me out of my comfort zone, and it started to make me feel a little fearless, which is cool. It's so cool to have that feeling, but I've got to be smart about it, too. And then the last thing that I've really identified, because I don't want to put too many things out there, but I want to be putting my name out there for larger businesses and corporations to book for public speaking and health coaching for their teams. This is something I've realized is like where my passion really is. I love coaching people on how to live their zest life. I couldn't help it. You knew I had to. But really, like, how to live their boldest, most fearless life and feel healthy in their skins and empowered in their skins, in their skin. I know for me, the biggest thing isn't necessarily identifying the how, because we all know how to when you really get down to the root, but rather it's just, gosh, getting out of my own way and doing it. Just do the epic shit, as my dad would say. Okay, so I want to hear from you. What's the epic shit you want to do? And then take it one step further. I want you to take a picture of you doing something that helps you to get closer to accomplishing what you want to do. So I don't want to necessarily see the end result. I want to see you actually in the process. And then, I don't know, tag me in your social media posts, send an email. Continue to do this until you've done the epicness. And I want to remind you that no epic dream is too little or too bold or too crazy. Cool, right? Awesome. Well, I hope that this has inspired you
to go out and just be your epic self, set those goals, be aligned with where you are, what you're doing. And again, don't forget to tag me, tell me what you're working on. And I'm going to hope that you guys hold me accountable as well. I've set my 3 goals and I'll be following up with you on those. All right, gang. I hope you have a great week. I'll talk to you next time.
All right. Thank you so much for listening. I hope this episode brought some zest into your life. And if you think this podcast will bring value to someone else, please feel free to share. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please like, subscribe, and leave a review. You can also find more insight on my Instagram at Genevieve_Nuttinghaworth and click the link in this episode's description where you can find my website. All right, I can't wait to rally with you next week.